Welcome back. I'm Mark Steiner, and oh yes, that's Benny King, Spanish Harlem, co-written by a great Baltimorean songwriter, Jerry Lieber, who was born on this day in Baltimore in 1933. Lieber and Stoller, two of the great combos of music writing history.
As part of our continuing look at the incredible events taking place at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, this Saturday at 1 p.m., that's April 26th at 1 p.m., at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum, there's a screening of this incredible short film called The Paradise That Wasn't by Evodia Ngoy, who is a part of the Wide Angle Youth Media. She went to public school here as a refugee from the Congo. And her short film, The Paradise That Wasn't, documents those experiences and experiences of others who were refugees in this community. And Evodia, welcome. Good to have you here on the Mark Steiner Show.
Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
That's great to see you. Great little film you made there. I say little, only not diminutively, but little because it's short.
Thank you.
So tell me about the reason you made this film.
I made The Paradise That Wasn't as a way to share with everyone my own experience as a refugee coming to Baltimore. I felt as if I wasn't the only person experiencing this type of, like, bullying as a student in school. So I wanted to kind of put it out there that there's new people coming to Baltimore City, and we kind of have to have this respect for them as newcomers, because as a refugee, as an immigrant, you do face a lot of struggles and you do face a lot of challenges. And it's good that one respects you for being able to have that such a courage to move from your home country to another country.
So tell me what the struggles were. I mean, I heard a lot of people, a lot of the young students talking, they come from countries across the world, the Arab, the Middle East, but most of them from African nations. What are those struggles that you pointed out and you feel that people need to understand?
Some of the struggles that I face, and I came to find out that the students I interview in the film faced as well, with, like, first of all, the language barrier. The students weren't so familiar with English, so they weren't able to communicate with their teachers, their peers. The second is, personally, as a young person, you're growing up and you're having that challenge of having to discover yourself. So if you have a student that doesn't know the language and you're dealing with peer pressure and you're dealing with all those things, all those challenges just kind of pile up all along.
And language for some people as well, right?
Yes, language, especially
for me. Because English is not your first language.
No, English is not my first language.
Your first language is?
Let's say French, because there's too many for me to even know which one.
Really? So give me a sense of what some of the other languages are that would be your first languages.
Swahili.
Mm-hmm.
Lingala, which is also another language spoken in the Congo. Yeah.
So that's right. Lingala is the language of the people you come from in the Congo?
Yes, it is the language of the people I come from.
Okay. So tell me how that, I mean, because clearly you have barely an accent at all in all of that. So, I mean, I'm curious what kind of sense of unity you feel with other students who may be from places as diverse as Tanzania or Kenya or Nigeria or Afghanistan or whatever. Is there a sense of unity around this for you with other students?
Yes, there is a sense of unity in the sense that we all feel as if we have come far away. And, you know, when you're coming far away and you come into this country, you kind of just, like, develop a family. And we all feel as if we're a family because we're all coming from far away. We all have to go through some challenges and to learn to be accepted and to even learn to accept ourselves for being who we are.
What about interactions with other students, with American-born students? How does that affect people in our public school system who are coming from other countries as refugees?
I think that for refugees and for those coming from different countries, you kind of have this hard time having to interact with your American-born peers. But along the way, personally, through my own experience, I have learned to communicate to my American-born peers, especially having been in this country for a while now. I have learned to know their reactions, because the way people behaved in the Congo and the way people behave here are a bit different. So I had to adopt to the ways of here.
How are they different?
They're different in the sense of that the way young people joke. Like, some of the jokes there may not be similar to the ones in here. And education in the Congo is very strict. The teachers are able to discipline their student.
Physically discipline.
Yeah, physically discipline.
Right.
Let's correct that. Physically discipline. So the student acts a certain way towards their teacher. And here it's different as well.
I think one of the things I wanted to ask you is, given the things that you and other young people said in the film that yes. you created, was also just the sense of what it means to be a refugee, mm-hmm. to be forced to leave the country that is your home or was your home,
mm-hmm.
and how what that does to you, what that does to your psychology, what does to your sense of self-worth, who you are.
I think having to leave your home, because I think that each and every single thing that happens to you throughout your life are kind of what defines you or makes you who mm-hmm. you are. And me having to leave my home so far away, it have kind of made me appreciative, meaning I'm able to know what it feels like to travel. I'm able to know what it feels like for one to leave their home, meaning I can't just judge someone because I know how it feels like. It puts me within that position. So there's this connection of awareness. It gives you awareness.
You open the film with you writing a letter to your uncle back home.
Yes.
Right? And you're speaking mm-hmm. in French at the top
mm-hmm.
of the film.
Yes.
And which is an interesting choice.
Mm-hmm.
Why did you make that choice to start your film?
Because I felt as if I needed to connect to what's back home. I needed to kind of give people this feel as if I have family members back home, and I kind of still communicate with them. And I think it's interesting because it makes the audience wonder, okay, what's happening? What's going to happen next?
And how did you find the students you interviewed, all these students you interviewed who are also refugees as you are, but from many different places?
Yes. Some of the students that I interviewed went to school with me, but some have graduated already. Also, some of the students were from this program called the Refugee Youth Project
yeah.
in Baltimore City. So Wide Angle and me as well, we were able to connect with that organization, and we were able to go and interview the students.
So the Refugee Youth Project are students who are refugees from around the city who gather together?
Yes, from around the city.
And how similar do you think the experiences are between you and other people?
Very similar, very similar. Even though we're not coming necessarily from the same countries, but I think it's very similar because we all have to deal with this struggle of, most of us have to deal with this struggle of adapting to the American ways and kind of putting ourselves in this first step of like just being out there and having to learn the new language, because in school you're kind of labeled as the African student
or by whom?
That all American born peers.
Interesting, as the African student.
The African student, that African girl right there. So
ah.
yeah.
So that's interesting. I mean, because people, I know some people in some other programs are trying to do a lot to try to bridge this gap
yeah,
this, between Africans and African Americans.
Yeah.
And you feel there's a gap.
Yeah, I do feel there's a gap because when I was making The Paradise That Wasn't, and when I was also in elementary school and in middle school, still now in high school, one of the things that confused me the most, this thing really confused me, I was wondering, the people that wouldn't necessarily bullying and picking on me were people that looked like me. And so that kind of puzzled me a little bit, but I've come to figure out there's not really a big difference between African Americans and Africans. It's only that American and the African American that kind of makes people think we're different species or something like that.
But that's so how are those gaps bridged, do you think?
I think having to make people aware that there is a gap and having to kind of talk about it and ask people, why do you feel as if there is a bridge or there is a divide in between, and what kind of makes people feel as if they're different because you have African American in which society identifies you and you have African.
And I'm curious your choice about this film. I mean, why you got into the world of filmmaking?
I've always been curious. I've always wanted to know, like, what goes on behind filmmaking. Like, how do producers, how do filmmakers, how do editors come up with these ideas? The Wide Angle Youth Media Organization,
right?
Thank God, was there for me to join and was there for me to, like, kind of figure more about film and kind of explore this thing that I've always wanted to explore.
I really do encourage people to see this film. I think you did an incredible job.
Oh,
it's
thank
really,
you.
Really well edited. You thought through this thing. So, but you love films. You want to become a filmmaker.
Yeah, I do want to become a filmmaker. after high school, I'm graduating next year.
Yes, from
Digital Harbor High School.
In June 2015? Okay.
I want to go on further into film, but I'm a bit confused whether I should go to film school because that's a lot of money. So I kind of need help making connection with people who are already in New York to kind of like get connection of like the film world and stuff like that.
So do you have filmmakers that you admire?
Not necessarily, but I have actresses that I admire.
Like who?
The lady who was in 12 Years a Slave, Lupita Nyong'o. Yeah, I kind of admire her courage, having to be her a descendant of the African race.
She's Kenyan, right?
Yeah, she's right. Kenyan. She was born in Mexico, right?
I think her father was in some, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of admire her courage, and I really loved what she said at the Oscars, that it doesn't matter where you're from, your dreams are valid.
So tell me that this Saturday you'll be on this panel. This Saturday on April 26th at 1 o'clock, you'll be on the panel with community leaders, including Kirsten Pickup, Refugee Youth Project Coordinator, and Joe Augustiniak, who is a communication specialist for Maryland Office of Refugee and Asylees. So you'll be talking really kind of a broad look at not just the film, but what the film was talking about, which is the social, economic, and cultural experiences of refugees in our community.
Well, I'm very, very excited to be on the panel. I think it's such an honor actually getting to be aside such honorable people. I'm just ready. I'm just ready for it. I think it's going to be very, very exciting just be there as well.
It's going to be great. I really do encourage people to see this. The Paradise That Wasn't. Incredibly well done film. This Saturday at April 26th, 1 p.m. at the Reginald F. Lewis Museum. Mm-hmm. You can just go to you can go to rflewismuseum.org, find out more information. You can also go on to steinershow.org. We'll have the links there. And meet Evodia Ngoy and talk about her film. This wonderful young Congolese artist who is a senior at Digital High School. A rising senior at Digital Harbor. Part of the Wide Angle Youth Media Project here in Baltimore, and the film was The Paradise That Wasn't. Don't miss this or the conversation. And thank you so much for being with us, Evodia.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you so much.